Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Tuesday, April 18. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, living within your budget. Wow. The American financial system was the most reliable and carefully monitored in the world. Its cornerstone was absolute honesty. Each dollar that was spent, either by a private company or public entity, was accounted for. Those who were responsible for spending money and those who recorded that spending were often criminally liable that the amount spent and reported was 100% accurate. Even Hollywood adhered to these high standards. Every year at the Academy Awards, the votes are carefully tabulated by one of the big four accounting firms, thus assuring the audience that the results are honest and accurate. Now, my own background is a financial principal for a couple of small brokerage firms, and I face criminal prosecution if I intentionally misled any of the various auditors who came through our office each year. From the state, to FINRA, to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the entire system was established to assure the public that our operation was entirely transparent and honest, and we took our responsibilities very seriously. Now, in a little over 2 years, we have seen all of that careful accounting demolished at the federal government level, and its consequences will be devastating. President Biden and his administration have created an open door for unscrupulous crooks to walk right in and plunder this country's wealth and reserves. Here are three examples of how a free-spending president and his administration have encouraged fraud. First, the stimulus. The COVID-19 stimulus program began under President Donald Trump and was completed under President Joe Biden. The program consisted of direct cash payments to individuals as well as specialized loan programs for businesses. When all was said and done, the stimulus program distributed approximately $6 trillion. And as you can imagine, with that amount of money involved, the opportunity for fraud and other chicanery was rife. Some of the fraud included dead people receiving stimulus checks, companies without employees receiving stimulus loans, and foreign students receiving checks, and the list goes on and on. Altogether, it is estimated that $1.8 billion of the stimulus paid may have been fraudulent. Attorney General Merrick Garland set up a special task force to pursue the criminals involved in defrauding the government, but that task force was shut down just after a year. For the IRS, this entire affair had to be a nightmare. The IRS was the agency that was responsible for distributing the stimulus funds, and it now is apparent that the IRS simply did not have the time or manpower to set up the proper controls and procedures to prevent this massive fraud. In their haste to send money to the people, both Presidents Trump and Biden ended up creating a cottage industry of stimulus fraud, something that likely could have been prevented with just a little more preparation. Number two, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. While the troubles with the stimulus program might be chalked up to pro-planning or a lack of resources, not enough staff perhaps, President Biden's management of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is simply reckless. First, a little background. In 1973, the Yom Kippur War broke out between Israel and its Arab neighbors. The United States supported Israel, and in retaliation, the Organization of Arab Petroleum Exporting Countries cut off supplies to the U.S. The price of imported oil and gas tripled, and then President Nixon recommended that the country begin rationing energy usage by raising thermostats, reducing and slowing down driving. America had been caught flat-footed without any backup supply. Congress was determined never to have that happen again, so they created the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Since its opening, presidents have rarely tapped into the reserve, and then only for minimal amounts. That is until President Biden came along. Over the course of the last year, Biden has continued to use the SPR as a way to manage the price of gasoline. In other words, he's playing the market, hoping that he could use a reduction in the price of gas to lower inflation. The result has been that he has taken the Strategic Petroleum Reserve down to levels last seen in 1984, putting the nation at risk for any lack of supply of imported oil. Oh yes, did I mention that last week OPEC Plus decided to reduce their production levels of oil, a move that is sure to raise the price of oil and gas here in America? Finally, the conflict in Ukraine. By now, we've all heard that the amount we're spending in aiding Ukraine in this war with Russia is $100 billion. But is that really how much we spent? According to a recent article by Kirsten Gerrs, published in Yahoo News, the actual budget allocation for Ukraine is $113. And even that number may be too low. Over the past couple of months, the Navy has been particularly vocal in declaring that they are running out of weapons and munitions. Admiral Darrell Clodd, speaking before the Surface Navy Association's annual meeting, bluntly stated that the Navy is running out of supplies. Speaking before this group of military supply companies, Clodd said that they are not delivering the, quote, ordnance we need. Quote, we all got a tough job, he said. I need SM-6s, those are missiles, delivered on time. I also need MK-48 torpedoes, also delivered on time. And he's simply not getting them. This sentiment was echoed later by Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro, who indicated that this country must soon choose between continuing to supply Ukraine at present levels or supply the U.S. Navy. We can't do both. This is a soft method that politicians often use to exceed their budgets. They simply move allocated supplies from one group, in this case the Navy, to another, Ukraine, hoping to balance things out when the fiscal year ends. If successful, no one would be the wiser. But this time, that scheme is not working. The Navy is running out of vital supplies, putting our sea-based defense at risk. Now, when this year's budget was prepared by Congress and signed into law by the President, the nation allocated just under $600 billion for defense. Aid to Ukraine was not part of that budget, but was voted on separately. Nonetheless, Ukraine spending at record levels is nearly 20% as great as our total defense budget. And you can see how a spending package this large can impact all the related department budgets like defense. Today, the president creates the illusion that the United States has unlimited resources and the ability to support the war in Ukraine, quote, whatever it takes, for as long as it takes, unquote. It is a mantra that Biden repeats often, and it is simply not true. As great a country as America is, it still does not have unlimited resources. A simple adherence to the budget you signed, Mr. President, would help guide us through these perilous financial times. And that's Value Side for this Tuesday, April 18. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.